Today's Issues continues on AFR.
Welcome back to Today's Issues. This is the last segment of this Tuesday edition of Today's Issues. If you want to find out more about Today's Issues or watch the show, you can visit our Today's Issues Facebook page. Today's Issues on Facebook, all the news stories are posted there. And also, if you want to know more about Dr. Ray Pritchard's ministry, Keep Believing Ministries, I've posted a link to his Facebook page, his ministry's Facebook page, so you can go there, find out more about what Dr. Pritchard does, and some of the resources that he provides with Keep Believing Ministries. Dr. Pritchard, welcome back to the last segment.
Well, thank you, Walker, and Steve, good to be with you, too.
We have you. Steve Jordahl in studio, and news, you got a breaking news. It's not breaking as in it just happened, but some more information about what
happened. Well, actually, it did just happen. It's not breaking as in it's earth-shattering. This isn't an earth-shattering thing. But this morning, about an hour ago, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, has released details about what happened in that Hawaii debacle where somebody pushed a button that said that there was an inbound missile coming to Hawaii. And remember, for 38 minutes, because the governor, or I think it was the governor, couldn't find his password, they couldn't figure out how to stop the message. Well, the FCC says that what happened was that at shift change between the night shift and the day shift, on the teams that the emergency workers who kind of monitor this stuff, the night shift manager decided to do a test. It was an unplanned, unscheduled test, but it was a test, and he was going to test the workers to see if they would respond correctly. So he put up a message that said, exercise, 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 and then words to the effect of, there is an inbound missile coming to Hawaii, da-da-da-da-da, and then it incorrectly ended with the phrase, this is not a drill, which should not have been on the exercise tape. Well, the supervisor who should have been watching what was going on thought that the test was meant for someone else and wasn't in the room. And the guy that was supposed to push the button that said, hey, there's a missile incoming, go hide, he did because he heard this is not a drill. So,
Ray, I know a couple weeks ago.
Errors.
Yeah, we gave them a hard time. Rightfully so.
Sure.
But this, Ray, this shows that human error does happen sometimes, doesn't it?
Well, they weren't ready, and Hawaii wasn't ready, and it just shows what a dangerous world we live in. So what have they said, what's going to happen to the fellow who sent out the – are our heads rolling because of this, or – or what?
The FCC did not put that in. We have read in other places that he was reassigned. But apparently, although he didn't hear the message was incorrect, and he did his job correctly if it were a real message, which he thought it was. He must have been scared to death, that poor guy.
I'm sure he was. Yeah, I think he's been moved.
Hey, I think he's been moved now to the nuclear silos. He's going to be the one that pushes the button when we launch ours.
You know, what I noticed, Ray, is government workers very rarely lose their jobs.
That's right. They get shifted around.
Yeah, unless they're whistleblowers.
Right. Exactly right. And there's no malevolent intent here, which actually in some ways is more scary. There's not, like Steve, a big, deep, dark conspiracy here. This is just a combination of a bunch of different human errors that basically scared the people in Hawaii to death, which means because it's that kind of thing, it could happen over again and probably will somewhere else.
Well, the FCC, hopefully, maybe they'll learn from this. The FCC's conclusion is that it is a combination of human error and improper safeguards, which prompted the worker to deliberately set the alert message. So
hopefully they'll get that straightened out for next time.
There's lessons to be learned.
God forbid it ever actually happen. But you got a positive story from a scientific standpoint here.
I do. You guys listen out there, many of you know firsthand because of loved ones, the horror that is Alzheimer's disease. It's what they call the long goodbye, because slowly someone's mind is taken away and they lose the ability first to communicate with words. They can't find words, and eventually they can't do tasks. They start not recognizing people, and eventually the brain loses its ability to do things like keep the heart beating and the lungs. You breathe and you die from Alzheimer's. It's just a terrible, terrible disease. Well, researchers have now found a way, to help control this. They don't use the word cure in these kind of situations, but the headline at the English paper, The Express, did use the word cure in quotes. Hmm. It is what they're calling a brain pacemaker. It's fitted directly into the skull of people who suffer. And so far in tests, it has been found to help restore both focus and attention. And I was reading about a woman who had forgotten how to cook and she remembered how to cook. She'd forgotten how to play the piano, and she was playing hymns on her piano again. It's just amazing. So it has been shown successfully to slow down the disease.
A brain pacemaker.
Right.
So something that's actually inserted in the brain that, as you said, it doesn't cure Alzheimer's, but I guess slows it down and maybe even, in this woman's case, reverses some of the symptoms.
The delicate surgery, according to the Express UK, the delicate surgery for fitting the device involves drilling holes in the skull and then implanting thin electrical wires into the frontal lobes of the brain. These send electrical impulses which stimulate parts of the brain.
Wow. Ray, you know what I'm often reminded of? I mean, anytime you talk about things like Alzheimer's and any other health effects, is that we're only here for a short time, and Scripture talks about that. And we're not infinite. We're not meant to live on this earth forever. Our bodies are temporary. But I believe God has gifted physicians and doctors with certain abilities to at least make life on earth as enjoyable as it can be until we face eternity.
Well, on the one hand, the Bible does clearly say it is appointed unto man once to die, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, what is your life? It's a vapor. It's a smoke. It's a mist. It's like the condensation on the inside of a window pane. It's here today. Well, in that case, it's just here for a few moments. But the fact that we're here for a few moments doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to stay healthy, right?
Right.
And thank God for researchers and doctors. If you just compare, I'm thinking from 100 years ago, or good night, go 200 years ago, where they didn't even understand the germ theory. They didn't understand about germs and antibiotics. That came in the late 1800s. We're living in a day of unprecedented medical advances. Even Steve, 5 years ago, what you were talking about, this brain pacemaker, it was just the stuff of science fiction, and now it's on the doorstep of reality.
They are mapping the brain like they've never done before, and while this doesn't involve it, the other exploding part of medicine involves DNA and what they're finding they can do with genetic manipulation and that kind of thing. As always, I have two thoughts about this. You need to put guardrails around whatever medical advances you have so that you don't infringe on the human dignity of a person. So this is where you would want not to do tests on aborted people, or you guard how you use organs that are transplanted, all those kind of things. They need to be drawn around. But to those out there who kind of look at these amazing stories and say, oh, no, we're becoming like gods, I don't think that we are coming close to godlike knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think that God would really stand by patiently and allow us to usurp. I don't think it's possible for our brains to really, we're not built to be God. So don't fear science. We can embrace science. Nothing in Scripture or biblical principles is contradicted by real science. There may be some things in science that we misunderstand sometimes. There may be some answers we don't know yet, but that's true about theology as well as about science.
Ray, this is a very complex topic when you start talking about it, and I'm not even very well versed on it. But what I read, when I read news stories of billionaires who are doing research into making living quote forever and things like that, I look at that and I think, why? If you're a Christian and you believe in Scripture, we all know no one can live forever on this earth. You can live forever in eternity. But things like that, of course, are directly unbiblical. But as far as improving the quality of life, Ray, it seems that, this is an okay exploration.
I would imagine, Walker, that almost every family of our listeners, I'll bet in virtually every family, if you got broader, that there's someone touched with some form of dementia, some kind of Alzheimer's. My own mom passed away about 15 years ago from some kind of dementia. They was just under the Alzheimer's umbrella because there's a number of those different things. And for those listeners, stories like this give hope because it is such a terrible wasting disease. And we can only say, Steve, to the folks in Great Britain, God bless you, and faster, please, because there's a lot of people suffering from this.
Yeah, I've known several people who have been taken by Alzheimer's, and it is just it's tragic because the person you see, I think we maybe even played this once on this show, Glenn Campbell, who either has or is about to pass away from Alzheimer's.
He passed away.
He did.
Yeah.
He wrote a song. It's called I just forgot the name of the song. It's about his struggle with Alzheimer's. It's called "I'm Not Gonna Miss You," and it is the most tearing song because it's sung from a person that has Alzheimer's, and he says it's sung to his wife. He says, "You were the first person that I love. You're the last person I'm going to love, but I'm not gonna miss you because to the person who has Alzheimer's, that just kind of slowly washes away, and the person that's caring for them is left with an increasing shell of a person that they used to know. Personality-wise, it's wiped away, and then, it is tragic.
Yeah. All right, next story for Steve.
I wanted to introduce a new file today. Can I do that? This is from the Hypocrisy File.
Good song choice.
I do like I say, not like I do. We have a CNN analyst. Her name is Anna Navarro, who is getting a little bit taken away with what some might call Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah, that's right.
And just yesterday, I believe, she wrote out, she took this. Are you familiar, Ray, with the first they came
right
poem.
The Martin E. Mueller quote,
quote, right? Well, she tweeted this out: first he came for Comey and they didn't speak out because they were Trump apologists. Then he came for McCabe and they didn't speak out because they were Trump apologists. Next he'll come for Rosenstein and they won't speak out because they're Trump apologists. Later he'll come for Mueller ... So she took that off, and she took some heat for comparing whatever is going on in this administration with the Holocaust, for goodness sakes. By the way, I've been friends with some Jewish people who don't ever, in front of them, reference.
No,
it's not
horrible.
About the Holocaust.
Right.
Well, Anna Navarro did, and someone went back and looked back at her tweets in the past. This was a tweet from July 26th of 2015, she says, "Unsolicited advice, always stay away from Holocaust and rape similes, jokes and metaphors. No comparison, never quite ends well." And then also back in February of 2017, she said, "Out of respect for those who died in the Holocaust at the hands of uniquely evil people, I don't engage in Nazi Hitler comparisons."
Well, she was right the first time around, wasn't she?
I think she was. She doesn't do it until then. So I don't know if she just forgot or didn't know that the Niemöller quote was about the Holocaust or if she had forgotten that she is not supposed to do it.
Right. This is comparing. I mean, if you want to compare it to Watergate or another scandal, but comparing it to where people lose their lives in the thousands and millions, there's no comparison to that.
Well, you lose all credibility, don't you, when you say something like that. You can disagree about Comey. You can disagree about Rosenstein. You can disagree about Mueller. You can disagree about Andrew McCabe. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of room for argument on both sides of this. But to drag in the Holocaust is so wildly out of proportion. It truly suggests that this woman has succumbed completely. She's got a full-blown case of Trump derangement syndrome. That's the only explanation I can think of.
Yeah. Well, she probably will be finding a different analogy coming up, I hope.
Right.
I have a couple stories, two stories from our, this is from our Snowflake Files.
Hey, 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 Snowflake.
Snowflake.
My pretty little snowflake.
Are you a baseball fan, Ray?
I sure am.
You're like a Rangers fan, I would guess.
Yes, sir. We're hoping to go to the World Series sometime this century.
Well, yeah. Let Houston lead the way for you there. Athletics fan, so I'm an American League fan as well. The Cleveland Indians yesterday said they're going to abandon their Chief Wahoo logo next year. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Right.
It's the caricature, and it is a caricature of an Indian man, red with a feather and everything. And
right.
And it has been the target of many a protest. Well, the commissioner of baseball and Mr. Manfred and the ownership of the Indians have come to an agreement. And starting next year, you will not see Chief Wahoo anymore. You will see that. I mean, they're not changing the name of the team, but they are taking the logo away.
Won't they have to have some kind of logo, right? I mean, don't you have to have?
I don't know. Yeah.
Don't you have to have something? I don't know.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to make sense to take the logo away and not take the name away.
Right. If you keep the name Indians, so what's your logo going to be?
Unless they think the logo in itself is, I guess, I don't know, disrespectful.
You know, I'm looking at it on your computer, Walker, yeah. And I've seen that logo for so long that
right.
It has stopped being a symbol of anything except for the Cleveland baseball team.
Right. And a lot of these things, you know, I'm not gonna die on a hill. Metaphorically over
right,
this
for
logo.
A logo. Right.
But I will say that historically, from my knowledge, the logo was not created to mock Indians.
Well, and it has been around a long, long, long time.
Right.
So, you know, we're torn about this. On one hand, who really cares, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who really cares what the Cleveland Indians use for their logo? But I guess the time, clearly, Steve, from the story you read, this didn't come just from the team. It came from pressure from the commissioner, right?
That's right. The logo has long been a source of anguish and frustration for those who consider it an offense, outdated and racist. But for many of the team's fans, and I'm reading here from the New York Times, for many of the team's fans, it is a cherished insignia, a divide that has played out at all levels of sports in recent years. Chief Wahoo, a cartoonish character of Native Americans, that was assumed from several forms over the years, first appeared on the Indians' uniform in 1948.
You know, it would seem to me that this is actually reverse. It's reversing the whole narrative because now we can't even honor Indians. We can't even name, a team after Indians. I didn't know. Is Indians slang? I mean, I don't know.
Well,
what do you call them, Native Americans?
I think the Indians is still acceptable.
Yeah.
I just think that some people think it's not an honor to have a team named after you. Now, this is the whole debate going on over the Redskins
right.
in Washington. As
yeah,
well.
I'm just usually with the PC crowd, I can connect the dots.
Yeah.
At least intellectually, but I'm having a hard time with this one.
Oh, I imagine that they're probably the team people just said we're tired of the controversy. We don't agree.
That's
but
true.
We're tired of the controversy. And we got to get about the business of winning baseball games. Hmm. Maybe it's nothing more than a pragmatic business decision. Sometimes you just want to put something behind you and move on.
Yeah. All right.
We have, you've been following the airline problems that they've been having last year with all of the people that were kicked off or drug off. And airlines just took it, took a beating last year because of all this. Well, United Airlines is in trouble again because it denied boarding to a woman and her emotional support peacock.
What? What? What did you say?
Emotional support peacock. The woman brought a full-fledged peacock with the long, you know, what, 6-foot tail.
Wow.
And she said she bought a whole seat for it.
No.
About a separate ticket for it.
Ray, I'm looking at the Fox News. This is on Fox News, and this is not a stuffed animal. This is an actual peacock.
No, it is a real
right,
live
Steve?
Peacock.
Yikes.
They cry, and they make all kinds of noises. It's terrifying sometimes. But yes, she had a seat, and she. But the airline said no. We can't.
What were you saying, Ray?
So they wouldn't. The airline wouldn't let her board with her emotional. It's hard to say that without laughing.
It is
emotional support peacock. And yes. And you're saying it had the big tail feathers and all that.
Oh yeah. Oh, beautiful man. Bird, by the way.
You know, Ray. Well, when I think of a peacock, I think of stress. Like, that's is right. That thing going to attack me? You know, maybe like a puppy dog, I could understand.
It may be support to her. It would terrify the other passengers.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. you'll have to visit. Go to the Today's Issues Facebook page, and I've posted the Fox News story. You can actually see a picture of the woman's peacock, and it's funny because, well, the whole story is funny. But the peacock is standing on the little buggies you get at the airport to put your luggage on. The peacock is standing on top of the buggy, like a bird. Look, and everybody's kind of staring at it. Anyways, next story.
I have one more file for you. This is from the Dumb and Dumber files. Don't know much about
history. Here we go.
You know that tonight, Ray, is the State of the Union address,
right.
Don't you?
Right.
Well, Republicans issued tickets to the State of the Union, and they sent them out, and everybody was all set to go until they noticed, well, they had to reissue them because they weren't issued for the State of the Union. They issued them for the State of the Union. They misspelled the word union.
No.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
Do they not have spell check?
How do you
make that mistake?
To be honest with you, this ticket looks like it was printed in the 1800s with the way they have House of Representatives printed. But yeah, the State of the UNIOM.
Wow. Well, that happened under
Union.
Yeah, I don't even know how to pronounce that. Yikes!
State of the Union.
Did somebody not look at that? Did somebody not look at? Didn't they? Don't they do proofing?
Apparently not, or at least they missed this one. So,
well, we know one thing, Ray, that nobody's going to lose their job.
No,
that's right. That's right.
If you can send a false nuclear
alarm, it's spelling
yum yum.
You're not going to lose your job over that.
Yeah. We're all looking forward, by the way, in the newsroom to the State of the Union tonight. Our Chris Woodward will be here. He will be covering it on AFR, and you'll have updates at the top of the hour. It's going to be late, but I think we're going to have some stuff, so we'll have good coverage of it tomorrow as well.
Do you know what time that starts?
9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. which would be 8 p.m. Central, okay. And 7 and 6, and probably 3 in Hawaii.
All right, folks. Well, you can listen to AFR.net tonight and get the hourly. Each hour at the top of the hour, you will get the news from American Family News, and you can hear the updates from the State of the Union. Also, you can visit onenewsnow.com. Might most likely get updates there also, up-to-the-minute updates on the State of the Union. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for the day. And any other news stories you wanted to mention, Steve?
Well, no, I have a thought about the State of the Union because we've been watching the press and everybody ravage this president. And I saw some tweets out there this morning who said, don't you dare call President Trump presidential if he does well tonight. You can't do that because he's obviously, you know, obviously from their perspective, an idiot. Don't call him presidential. I just think it's time for everybody to step back and just see what the man says.
Right.
That's right. Give him a chance.
See what he says. Let's start talking about his policies and not his personality.
Yeah.
And I think that would be better for everybody.
Yeah, maybe they'll do that. We'll see, though. Anyways, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Ray, thank you for co-hosting with me.
Thanks, Walker.
All right, folks. Well, you've been listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network, AFR.net. Stay tuned to great programming and Bible teaching by our friend Alistair Begg coming up next.